did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary, did you know?
Well, good morning. It's good to see each of you here. We have an honored guest today. Her name is Stella May. And Stella's in the back. see all the rest of you here. Good to see our college students back. And Grandma came, by the way, from Virginia. And so it's a great day to be in God's house. You know, it's always an exciting time to be able to come around the holidays and see people we haven't seen in a while and visit and get to know one another. And so we're glad that you're here. You know, in 1809 was a very dangerous time for our world. Napoleon was storming his way through Austria, and many soldiers were dying from different places around the world. In fact, the kingdoms of the world were really out of balance, and it looked as though things were going to turn real ugly for our world. But in 1809, there were also some significant bursts that took place. Many of us probably do not realize that year, but William Gladstone, who was destined to become one of Europe's or England's greatest statesmen, he was born. 1809, also there was Alfred Lloyd Tennyson, who was to be one of the greatest authors of his day. In America, Oliver Wendell Holmes was born in Massachusetts. Edgar Allan Poe was born in Boston, and a physician had given birth to a son by the name of Charles Darwin. And in a cabin in Kentucky, there was another baby that was born by the name of Abraham Lincoln. It's so strange when you study history, you notice that in 1809, there were two countries that were shaped by the cradles of the births of these people in 1809. You know, every society and every generation has had its challenges. There's been financial difficulties, and there's been struggles and heartaches, and there's been disappointments and confusion and other things. There's been terrorism, even as today we are facing some of those. And the question then comes, where do we get our answers? Where do we go? We're confused about what to do. In ancient Israel, during the time of Isaiah the prophet, they felt very much like we feel today. They didn't know where to go. Things were dark. They had turned their back on God. They'd gotten away from God, and God was bringing the Assyrian army to come and bring judgment on them. And so now they're looking for someone to help, some type of hope, somehow to get out of the mess they're in. And there was certainly a person who was about to come, a baby. And God had come and gave them a promise there was going to be a baby. That baby was going to certainly be the hope that would change their course of history. God was going to send his son to bring hope to a nation. I want to preach this morning on the subject, the great counselor came to a confused world. And certainly we live in a confused world today. And I want you to think with me carefully. When you think of counsel, you think of wisdom. And my question is this, where do you get your counsel from today? I mean, who is it that really tells you and guides you and gives you for you advice? I know some would say, well, I go to the financiers if I want financial advice. I go to a doctor if I want medical advice. I go to a psychiatrist if I want psychiatric advice. And I go to these different places where I get advice. But, you know, the bottom line is that sometimes those can be wrong. In fact, I have found that counsel is a good thing. In fact, the Bible makes that very clear. The Bible speaks of the fact that if you notice here, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So wisdom then comes from trusted people, people that I can believe in, that I would allow them to have influence over my life, that I would allow them to be able to know something about me and really be concerned about me. And there are many good counselors that are like that, and people who really do care. And yet, we have to be careful that there's some bad counselors out there. There's some bad counsel out there. You're going to find that
that in your exposure to counselors, that not all of them are good. And the strange thing I've noticed is they don't come and have t-shirts that say something like this, "I give bad advice." They don't come that way. And counsel can be dangerous if we're not careful. Some people get their counsel in the wrong places. And warnings are given over and over. For example, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." So we have to be very careful, because there is a lot of confusion today. People are confused about rearing children and job relationships and what to do within, you know, how to get along with family and our neighbors. And there's confusion about, you know, how do I handle my money and how do I deal with all of these things. And then you have the Christian life, and people are confused about prayer and how to read the Bible and what is this giving all about, and why do we go to church and how do we pray. You know, where do we get all of the counsel on those particular difficulties that we struggle with? Teenagers are looking for some guidance, and they're looking for some wisdom. And, you know, if they're not careful, they'll listen to the wrong counsel. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9, I've heard parents say something like this, "Let your heart be your guide." But in Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9, the Bible said that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I mean, I would be foolish to let my heart be my guide, because my heart can lead me in the wrong way. It can lead me in the wrong decisions. And I can wind up doing things that I shouldn't do, because quite frankly, there are things that my heart wants to do that God says I ought not to do. So how do I handle this idea of counsel? What do I do about that? Where do adults go when they get their advice? And where do people go when they're looking for answers? It's unfortunate, but many times people look to afternoon talk show gurus, and they give them counsel. And people say, "Oh yeah, that's really helped me, and that's exactly what I needed." And some people go to television, or some people go to the radio, and they get counsel that way. Sometimes they read blogs or magazines or whatever else. But keep in mind that people do not, if you would, they don't somehow or another give counsel in the way in which you would say, "Okay, let me give you some bad counsel here." They give you good counsel veiled, or bad counsel veiled under the sign of good counsel. Think about this dog. You're sleepy, go out and lay down the road, right? Is that good counsel? You get sleepy, you're going to go out and lay down the road. If you're a dog, that wouldn't be really good. And so we have to keep in mind that if we're talking about counsel, then where do we go? Well, for the nation of Israel, they recognized the fact that there was a place where they could go. And I want to tell you, that same place you and I can go as well. Wise men still seek Christ. It's wisdom to seek the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 9, if you would, please. Probably most of you were already there in your mind. You know where I was going with this. But let me take you there. I don't want to disappoint you. Because the great counselor that came to this world is found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 5, 6, and 7. Notice with me, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 5, "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts hath performed it." You see, Jesus was born in a manger. But when he came as the great counselor. And here's a list of his titles. By the way, the names are significant in the Bible. They represent all that that person is. And we're going to look at this idea. We're going to look at Wonderful Counselor, but what we're going to do is we're going to kind of swap them around just a little bit. In other words, it's going to be Counselor, then we're going to look at Wonderful. Because the truth of the matter is, Christmas then is a time of wisdom and a time of wonder. And when I think of that, I think of the fact that as we've come here today, that God in Christmas has given in a complete answer to a confused world, Jesus Christ, the incarnated God, the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the blood atonement, he without sin. God gave all into that package in Bethlehem's manger 2,000 years ago. He was everything that this world needed. In fact, the truth of the matter is, if you were to say, who do I go to? Who can I trust? Who's my divine authority? Who is it that I can lean on? Who can I know that when I go to him, there's no doubt about it that he's always right, and that's Jesus Christ. And while I may not understand it, and while I may not really connect with it, while it may not make sense to me, the Bible said that Jesus is all that there is. So there are two key words here. This idea of wonder and this idea of counsel, and we're going to focus around this idea of counselor or counselor because the fact is that he holds all wisdom in his hand. Colossians chapter 2 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says this. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I was thinking about who is it that people go to in preparation for this message. Who is it that really sets for us our direction in life? I mean, who is it that we would say, okay, you know, if I want to find wisdom, in other words, about the things that I deal with every day and about where I'm going in the future, who do I go to? So many people make wrong choices in that area. And because they make wrong choices, they suffer great loss. What a dangerous thing to think about the fact that we would ignore the great counselor. I mean, it's a horrible thing to think about, that we could sit in a church services, that we can have a Bible in hand, we can open it up, we can read it on our own, or we can sit in the church service and hear the preaching of God's word, we can have the Holy Spirit of God working, we can sing the songs about what who God is and how magnificent God is, and we can walk out and make all the wrong choices. That we can just ignore all the counsel that God has. Just ignore what God says in his word. And we'd rather turn on and hear what Oprah has to say or Dr. Phil has to say or whoever the latest and greatest is. I don't know. I don't sit around watching those shows. But what a strange thing that is. And then kids, teenagers asking, where do we go? What do we do? Who do we go to? Well, can I tell you this? God has the answers. Jesus Christ is the authorized wisdom of all wisdom. There is no greater wisdom than him. He is all that there is. And for us to understand that as we unlock this, I guess what I really want us to grab away from this and go home with this today is, why don't we just decide right now that we are going to make sure that when we get wisdom, we go to God who gives all wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So for me then, I need to go to God for wisdom. I need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ for wisdom, because Jesus Christ is for me, and I want to get this. He's our complete answer from God to a confused world, and how important that really is. So why do we need wisdom? What is it we need wisdom for? Well, number one, we need wisdom to be able to live with our past. some people have kind of rough pasts, you know. We can kind of look back and say, boy, I tell you what, I'm just glad the past is in the past, amen. I'm glad that it's back there in the past. And, you know, there are people that struggle with their past because maybe they may not be able to forgive somebody of the past. They may not be able to forgive their upbringing. They may not be able to forgive something they personally have done. They struggle with that. But I'll tell you what, when you have Jesus Christ, you know that when he came and he died on the cross for our sins and he was buried and then he rose again the third day, that all that Jesus did on the cross is that he came to forgive us of all our sins in the past. And that I don't have to carry the load of those things. And then that if it's somebody that I'm struggling with forgiving, I need to forgive them by God's grace, because that's all in the past. That God helps me to live with my past. He's the hope. And if I'm not careful, if I go to somebody else and not go to Jesus Christ, I'm going to find that my wisdom is going to always be from something that could be flawed, because all of us are flawed with the sin problem we have in our life. But Jesus Christ always gives us perfect wisdom. But then think, secondly, we're able to forgive our enemies. Forgiving our enemies is something that we need to understand. I mean, I have to forgive my enemy. I was thinking about this and praying over this week, and I've been studying through this and just praying and saying, dear God, help me to be able to communicate this. But I was thinking about, you realize that when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he said these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was speaking of those who were crucifying him. And if you were to ask somebody today, if somebody did something to you, what would you do? I'd get them back. I'd always get them back. That's how the world thinks. But by God's grace, we understand that we, as we have been recipients of his forgiveness, we are to forgive others. You say, how does that work? We need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God. Some of you, I think you were probably reared with perhaps maybe some type of abusive relationship. Maybe you were beaten, or maybe you were sexually molested, or maybe you had gone through some things that you would be embarrassed. And you're trying to live with your past. You're letting that past haunt you. And you know, you're struggling with forgiveness. How do we get forgiveness with that? Some people struggle with that. We need the wisdom of God in that. We need God's wisdom. I had one person come to me one time and says, well, how do I forgive my dad because he did so many different things to me? I'm so embarrassed about it. I wouldn't want anyone. How do I forgive him? He's dead now. And how do I do that? And I simply told them, I said, you know what you need to do is you need to write a letter. And you need to tell him, I forgive you for these things. And then you need to tear it up and throw it away. Because forgiveness is that which God shows us in Scripture. And we all need help with that, because there are people out here who run into our lives and maybe they brush against us, and maybe they have become our enemies, whether we want them to be or not, or whether we say, well, they're my enemy, or they say, well, you're my enemy, and whatever the case is, the bottom line is we need to be able to forgive our enemies, and we need the wisdom of God. It gets real quiet at this point. I get that. But then thirdly, we need wisdom on how to be able to face death. How are we going to do it? I was thinking about in 1809, Charles Darwin was born. He died. I wonder if he was prepared. I'm going to tell you this. When he died, if he wasn't prepared, he went to hell. He became a believer in Jesus Christ when he got there. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not prepared to die. Because the Bible makes it very clear that in him is all the treasures of godliness. In other words, the only way that I can go to heaven is because of Jesus and him alone. The only reason why I can do anything for God in ministry, the only reason why I can lead my family right, the only reason why I can lead my children right, the only reason why I can be anything for God at all is because of the wisdom of God Almighty. It's his counsel. But then he goes on and talks about he's wonderful. The idea of wonderful means an involuntary praise. And when we talk about wonderful, we're talking about this involuntary praise. And you know, I had someone say this to me one time. Well, you know, preacher, you said this to me. You said that the reason why God put me here on this earth is that I might bring glory and pleasure to God. Isn't that a pretty selfish God that all he wants is for you to give him all the glory? But what they don't understand is that's not how it works. Let me help you to understand this. Do you know that God is eternal and man is temporal? We're not eternal. Do you realize that for all of eternity, there's been God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit studied out in the Scriptures? And do you realize that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all gave glory to God? In other words, they glorified themselves. Now, when he brought us here to this earth, he is enabling us to share in the joy of bringing glory to God. That's what it means. When it says he's wonderful, the idea then is this involuntary praise. That this morning, if I'm going to talk about he's wonderful, it's not the fact that for some reason that I would say he's wonderful because he does all these things for me. He's wonderful because of who he is. And here's the bottom line. You cannot call him wonderful counselor if you do not make him the wisdom of your daily life. You cannot call him the wonderful counselor if you've not engaged him in your life and make him every day of your life that you seek him in such a way that he would bring honor, that you would bring honor and glory to him, and that your decisions would be from what his wisdom is rather than what someone else tells you. You see, that's what makes him wonderful. When I think of the praise, I think of that overflowing praise. You know, it's not hard for us to identify with that because, you know, if we have something that we really love, we really want to give praise to that. We like to talk about it. We like to, you know, we talk about all the good things about it, you know, whether it's a hobby or a sport or whatever it is. But can I tell you this today, that there's nothing greater than Jesus Christ. Praise is that which is in the heart. He's the ultimate beauty. He's the ultimate music. He's the ultimate partner. He's the ultimate counselor. He's the ultimate everything for us. And for me then, for us, as we just simply give praise to him at this time of the year, that he can become very important to us if we allow his wisdom to come a part of our life. Here's the bottom line thought. Make his wisdom your wisdom. Make his wisdom your wisdom. Can we say that together? Make his wisdom your wisdom. Let's swap it around. Let's put my before the second wisdom, all right? Let's say it together. Ready? Make his wisdom my wisdom. That means that every day of my life, that when I get up in the morning, that I seek God's wisdom. I don't know about you, but I need to know how to handle myself when I go out in this lost world. I need the wisdom of God on how to communicate with my wife and my children. I need the wisdom of God on how to be able to lead a life that would be pleasing to God. I need wisdom on how to be able to make right investments of my time and of my finances. I need wisdom on how to be able to handle the things that come in my life that I do not know where the answers are. I don't know how to get them. And it's not for me to go and say, okay, Brother Shepherd, what'd you do? Oh, I'll do what he did. Because what he did may be different than what I should do. And sometimes I think we have a tendency to do that. We go to the guy that we think is the best prayer. We say, all right, whatever he tells me, I'll do. Oh, no. Why don't we go to God and let God tell us what to do? You see, God's a personal God. He's your God. He's my God. And he says that he's the great counselor. Because he's the great counselor, he's offering to you and to me this answer. Because we are living in a confused society. Here's my question. Where are you getting your wisdom from? I mean, to whom are you going to help? As a teenager, who's giving you the wisdom that you need? The counsel that you need. If you're here without Jesus Christ, why don't you take his counsel. The Bible said God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to take you right where you are, if you'll take him right where he is. And then, Christian, let me ask you a question. Where are you getting your wisdom from? Jesus is described as the holder of wisdom. He's the dispenser of wisdom. He's the one that gives you the great counsel. He counsels you on how to live, on how to serve him, and how to glorify him, and how to handle the problems of life, and how to deal with the heartaches of life, and how to go through some of the difficulties and the struggles. But quite frankly, you cannot call him your counselor if you don't make his wisdom daily in your life. And what I mean by that is, it's not the counsel. It's when you take him, you take all that he encompasses in counsel. Everything that he is becomes a part of what you are. And that's why Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He says, my life is so in tune and so intertwined with Christ because I've let him become me and I've gotten rid of me so that he can live through me. My question is this, will you accept Christ today as your personal Savior if you don't know him today? And then second of all, Christian, will you decide that you will make it a practice of your life, starting today, that you will get the divine wisdom of God every day? Will you start today? Just decide that, you know, I don't know what to do about this particular situation. I don't know how to handle this family matter. I don't know how to deal with this thing at job. I don't know how to handle this thing at school. I don't know how to reach my neighbor for Christ. I don't know how to do these things. But Lord, you know how to do it. And I'm asking you today, right now, I've decided that I need you to be my counselor. And when we make that decision, what a huge difference that's going to be. You see, I kind of look at it this way. When I have him as my counselor, he always leads me in the paths of victorious Christian living. He always will. We'll have absolute peace about being here, about what God wants me to do. And here's the bottom line, too. We will save ourselves from a ton of heartache. A ton of heartache. I can't tell how many people have said, man, I wish I would have just listened. I wish I would have just really got. I wish I would have known these things in the Bible. I wish I would have known this when I was a young man. I could have saved myself a lot of heartache and a lot of disappointment and a lot of things that I'm going through every day of my life. If only I would have listened. We can't change our past. That's the wisdom we need to live on how to live. But we certainly can make a difference today, right now. We can decide right now that I'll take the wisdom of God and I'll take Jesus Christ and I'll apply that to my life, and I'll stop listening to what my flesh says and what all these counselors around me say, and I'll kind of focus on what God has to say in his word and what Jesus Christ, my great counselor, wants me to do. See, that's the God kind of wisdom we all need. I'll tell you this, God's counsel prepares us for a future to face death. You see, it's the wisdom that we have to go through, wisdom from above, James speaks of. I tell you what, it's the kind of wisdom when you say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I can't tell you how many times when I do funerals, in fact, I don't even ask anymore. I used to ask, and I still do that, but I used to ask something like this. I would say, well, what scripture passages would you like for me to read during this service? 99.9% of the time, the one they always say is Psalm 23. Because that's what gives us the wisdom to face death. Because it speaks of the shepherd. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. Here's my question. Is he your great shepherd too? I trust that he is. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we've come here and we do live in a very confused society. Lord, there's no doubt about it that that our society is tossed and turned and confused, and they have no direction, and they're it seems as though they're applauding the bad things as being good, and they're the good things they're putting down as being bad. Lord, they're so confused. And Lord, it's sad, but many times Christians are confused as well. So Lord, today as we are here in this service, I pray that you would have every Christian here to search their hearts to see where their counsel's come from, because it's coming from somewhere. And I pray for that one here today that may not know Jesus Christ, that they may receive him as their ultimate counselor. He's everything, and he provides for them true life. I pray, Lord, you'd speak in the moments we have together. In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to invite you to come. If you're a Christian, and maybe you're at a point somewhere in your career, or perhaps maybe in your home, in your family, and you need the wisdom of God to help you with something, some decision you need to make, I want to invite you to come to this altar and just start today, right now, at this very moment, and say, God, I want you to be my counselor. And I'm going to seek you every day. And I'm going to ask you to help me to know exactly what you want me to do. And while it may not necessarily go with what everybody else says, it certainly is what you want me to do, and I'm willing to accept that. And then maybe if you're here today and you never trusted Christ as Savior, you're not sure that when you die you're going to heaven. You're a good person, perhaps, or maybe you're a person that, you know, you've been in church, or you've been around Christian people a lot in your life, and you have to be honest and say, you know what, I just need the Lord in my life. I need Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to come right now. As we give this invitation, I invite you to come. Let's stand together. As God speaks to our hearts, would you come? I invite you to